Portable 5 and the First Day of the Rest of Our Lives by Wayne Raleigh.
The growing excitement inside Portable 5 on March 25th, 1980 was silent but aggressive. My own stomach churned as if I'd done something wrong, something horribly, horribly wrong, and was sure to be found out. Today was the day. Today, we, the fifth grade class at Schultz Elementary School, would be watching our very first sex education film strip.
Please calm down and take your seats, everyone.
That was a weird thing for Mr. Pierce, our teacher, to say because we were all sitting down, facing front and not saying a word. He must have been nervous, too. This day had been on its way for years, and we all knew it was coming. It was one of the countless advantages to being in the fifth grade. It was our last year at Schultz Elementary, and that meant a few goddamn things. You could be a crossing guard. You got to go to an assembly and watch the middle school band play the theme song from MASH. And at some point during the year, you got to see, at least partially, naked girls on a film strip. That was the rumor.
Okay, everyone.
These film strips were rumored to be so graphic, so hot, that they actually had to separate the girls from the boys before spooling them into the film strip projector. The boys would watch what was referred to as the boys' film strip, and the girls would watch the girls' film strip. That was the rumor. I hoped silently to sweet Jesus, God Almighty, on his throne in the kingdom of heaven. That rumor was true.
The young ladies will go next door to Portable 4 with Ms. Sharp and Ms. Milas and watch the girls' film strip.
The collective sigh of relief swayed the projector screen back and forth like a sheet on a clothesline in a soft desert wind.
And everyone, after we watch our respective film strips, we will switch film strips. And the girls will watch the boys' film strip, and the boys will watch the girls' film strip.
For the first time in my life, I realized that my mouth was hanging open. Like most male contemporaries of mine, my mouth had been hanging open most of my life, and I'd never given it a second thought. But at that moment, 15 young boys simultaneously closed their mouths. The girls, they didn't flinch. They may have known something we did not, or they had a realization as well that it may now be a good idea to start pretending like they might know something we did not. But their plan would ultimately fail, wouldn't it? I was going to watch their film strip. Like a book left open on the sacred altar of a bubblegum lip-smacker-scented church, I would soon know all their secrets.
Ladies, please stand up and form a single file line at the door, please.
Ms. Sharp lined the girls up and marched them out of Portable 5 like some sort of twisted Orwellian future society where boys and girls aren't allowed to watch film strips together. A slight chill ran up my spine. The last girl, Claudia Short, good God, I love you, Claudia Short, stopped at the door and turned her head back to the room looking at us as if to say,
"See you on the other side, boys. The next few years are going to be intense."
The door closed behind her for a moment and then reopened as Jason Adams entered, followed by the rest of the males in his class. And behind them, Mr. Colon, the school principal, with a small red film canister in his hand. Mr. Colon's presence in Portable 5 was telling. Not only had he left his office, which was rare enough, but he wasn't wearing his blue suit. Today he was wearing Wrangler jeans, a white turtleneck and a brown corduroy sport jacket complete with dark green patches at the elbows. All of a sudden, Portable 5 had become the Playboy Mansion, and Hugh Hefner had just walked in. Oh, my God, this was going to be a fine day.
Hi, guys. I'm just here to help answer any questions you might have.
Every hand in the room shot up.
Whoa.
Mr. Colin backed up a step.
Okay, everyone.
Mr. Pierce kept saying okay in that way that fifth grade teachers do when there is the slightest possibility that things may not actually be okay.
Okay. We will watch the boys' film strip, and then we will immediately watch the girls' film strip, and then, and only then, can you ask questions. Okay? If there is any talking or laughing during the film strip, you will not be able to watch the second one.
The air went out of the room. It was like the vacuum of space inside Portable 5.
Okay, Mr. Connor, would you please dim the lights?
Poor Richie Connor was so nervous. He knocked his desk over, standing up to get the lights. The film strip projector blazed to life.
Shush!
Mr. Colin pressed play on the cassette recorder. The deep, calm, velvet voice of film strip narration oozed from the tape player.
Hello, and welcome to this Crown Educational Media presentation. When you hear this sound, advance the frame.
The obligatory film strip operation instruction seemed particularly drawn out. Knowing how we did, that we were only a few short dings away from what would basically be second base. First frame, wide shot of a municipal building of some kind, perhaps a high school.
You may notice that as you turn 11 and then 12, your body will be going through certain changes.
Change to what? Well, apparently into a group of three greasy teenage boys. Their pimply mouths agape in mid-conversation. The center one sported a tremendous orange afro, the most hair I had ever seen in my life. Another had long, stringy blonde hair and was wearing a necklace of what looked like shells of some kind, but I couldn't really tell. And the third was in a tank top and jeans with American flags sewn onto the back pockets. American flags on pants? Who were these guys? I was totally ready to cop to the fact that my body was going to be going through certain changes, but not into these guys. Sorry.
The time that young boys undergo the physical and emotional transformation into manhood is called adolescence, or, more commonly, the teen years.
Frame advance. An overhead shot of a high school hallway. There at least were girls in this shot, but something was very wrong. They were horrible, disfigured girls with long, straight hair, parts down the center of their white scalps wide enough to drive a Hot Wheel through. Some were wearing huge, round, clownish glasses and pants whose leg bottoms completely swallowed their feet in a swishing mass of fabric. I squinted, trying to comprehend. I knew what these people were. I had seen them before, in pictures, taken long ago. These were hippies. What in the world would hippies know about sex?
It is important that you are aware of the many changes your body is going through during this important time.
Now, a diagram that was stranger to me than a whole hillside of hippies. I mean, it was obviously some dude's wiener, but it was unlike any wiener I'd ever seen. It was cut into a cross-section with green, orange, and blue tubes running up and down and over and under inside of it with green, orange, and blue arrows pointing to their respective tubes.
Some of the most important changes have to do with the male genitals, or The penis.
Finally, a word I knew! Perhaps this thing was going to turn around. Even John Holdsclaw, who had already abandoned the whole thing and begun working on his Dungeons & Dragons map, sat up at the word penis. The next five frames were all of the same twisted diagram, but with different tubes highlighted.
Urethra. Testis. Scrotum. Sperm.
Sperm testis, Eureka? What in the living hell is this guy talking about? What in the living hell is going on here? As the last ding dinged over more acne-covered love children eating lunch and putting books in lockers and playing sports in shorts that were just so entirely too short, all I really wanted was my money back. Mr. Colon had put on his Bob Guccione outfit for this? The lights came on. As if on cue, Miss Milas entered Portable 5 with the girls' film strip and cassette. Miss Milas was very pretty, and Richie may have been distracted by that, what with all the build-up and everything. Anyway, he knocked over his desk again, getting up to turn off the lights.
Boys.
Hello, and welcome to this Crown Educational Media presentation. When you hear this sound, advance the frame.
Obviously, the boys' film strip was only the warm-up. The goods still lie ahead. Wait a minute. These are the same hippies that marred the first frame of the last film strip. Hippie hallway. This is some kind of cruel practical joke, right? This, the girls' film strip, the one we weren't allowed to watch with girls in the room, was exactly the same as ours. Frame for frame, hippie for hippie. The only difference was, in place of the penis diagram, was a cross-section of what I now know to be the lovely, mysterious, and poetic natural wonder that is the female reproductive system. But at the time, it looked to me like a bouquet of tulips smashed flat by a steamroller. The same steamroller that had just smashed flat my heart. Mr. Pierce, the liar, turned on the lights.
Okay, gentlemen. Now, Mr. Almond, Mr. Colon, and myself will answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, I've got some fucking questions, excuse my French. Where was the nudity we were promised? Why were there hippies just on our wall for a half hour? Why do the girls in the next room fill me with so much dread it is all I can do to ask one of them for an extra pencil? Why is the only thing I want in the whole freaking cruel and unusual world is for one of them to laugh, genuinely laugh at something I say? Why do I keep a stash of the old man's penthouse magazines the size of the Library of fucking Congress between my mattress and box spring? I sleep 4 feet off the floor, Mr. Pierce. Why? Tell me. Why?
Doesn't anyone have any questions? Come on, guys. It's cool.
Jason Adams was the only one who raised his hand of all the people I would remember for the rest of my life.
Yes. Jason?
Mr. Colon looked nervous. But then again, so did Jason.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, I was wondering how exactly you're supposed to know when you're sperming.
And? The room fell apart.
Okay.
Yeah, we were laughing. But the truth be told, not one of us knew how to tell if we were spermin either. And the only reason I have not gone back and sued the living bejesus out of the Marysville public school system for that day was Mr. Colin's answer to Jason's question about how he was exactly supposed to know if he was spermin. His neck flushed as Mr. Pierce rattled off okays like artillery gunner.
Okay!
The room fell silent. Mr. Colin said softly,
"Oh, believe me, you'll know."
That sentence sums up my entire experience with sexual education in the 9 years I attended Marysville Public Schools.
Oh, believe me, you'll know.
And you know what? I'll be good goddamned if he wasn't right.
Fools Rush In was recorded live at West of Lennon in Seattle, Washington on April 29, 2013. It was engineered by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Dave Pascal. Our stage manager was Colleen Nielsen, and our sound technician was Jordan Sell. You can follow Soundbox Radio on Twitter and subscribe to the podcast at the iTunes Store. Find out more about Soundbox Radio and the Soundbox Artists Collective. Send us an email and access our podcast archive at thesandboxac.org. Thanks for listening.